Oh, that game Saturday night at the NBA Finals with the Suns and the Bucks, that was off the chain. And so is DraftKings. Basketball is crowning a new champion. There's still time to get in all the hoops action with DraftKings. DraftKings is offering all players a free shot at up to $5,000 in total prizes with their free-to-play pools. $5,000 in total prizes up for grabs for each game. The best part is that it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you got to do is answer a handful of questions around what you're going to think is going to happen with this series, or you know, who's going to be the MVP. All those questions are there. Questions like which team will cover the spread to the next game that will be played, three-pointers, who's going to win the fourth quarter, and so much more. Getting all the action before the season ends, download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use the promo code WMVP when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $5,000 in total prizes during the finals. Head to the DraftKings pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code WMVP for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. Wow. Let's talk about the NBA Finals right now. Here on the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the aforementioned DraftKings. Yes, basketball is hood. It is the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. I am Jay Hood, and the Milwaukee Bucks are now up 3-2 in the NBA Finals as the Bucks win 123-119 in Phoenix. Does that mean the series is over? You know, these NBA playoffs and the NBA Finals, they're so unpredictable. Who knows, right? Who knows what's going to happen in this series? I expect, because the Bucks are one game away, to be able to salt this away and knock it down. But who knows, right? Do the Suns have another right hand, another left hand, another couple of punches to be able to keep this series going until seven? Who knows? All I know is that last night, when you saw the beginning of the game in which Phoenix led 37-21 in the first quarter, 11 straight field goals by the Suns, right? A 16-point advantage in the first quarter, and then you thought, okay, Phoenix has the momentum because Phoenix is at home. And then all of a sudden, 43 points scored in the second quarter by the Bucks. Bobby Portis was key, and you saw 43 points in the second quarter. And then from there, you look at how the Bucks were able to play. When you look at this game, for once, the big three of the Bucks came through. And you say, oh, Hood, it's happened before. I'm talking about in the biggest moment, right? In a game that's crucial, tied at two, Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday all were able to contribute in a big way. And if you're going to assemble a big three, if you're going to give big money to Chris Middleton and big money to Giannis Antetokounmpo for his future for this basketball team, they have to be able to come through. And that's exactly what you did. So when you look at Giannis, Giannis didn't go to the foul line a ton on the road here in Phoenix. 4-for-11 from the foul line. Not the same Giannis that you will get at home at Fiserv Forum. But what I loved is that Giannis, the key to his stat line, 0-for-1 from three. He wasn't trying to shoot a lot of threes. What he's trying to do is just be himself from the foul line down, which I've talked about in previous podcasts. On the inside, he's as dominant a man as you will find in the NBA. 32 points. He had 9 rebounds and 6 assists. So he had a terrific game for 41 minutes. And then Middleton, who I have hyped up and talked about a lot here in the playoffs. Middleton, as a quote-unquote number 2 guy, came through like a number 1 with his 29 points, his 12 for 23 from the field, 3 for 8 from 3-point range. I was very impressed by that. And the same thing with Holiday as well. Holiday with 27 points and 13 assists. That was a tremendous effort by Holiday, including the key to the game. In the fourth quarter, late, here's Booker trying to make something happen. And then you see Holiday with the steal. And then the dunk on the other end by Giannis. That's exactly what the Bucks needed. And the Bucks go on to victory. Something else, too. When you take a look at the Bucks, especially from their bench standpoint, and again, it's the playoffs, it's the finals, so the rotations get really, really tight, right? You have your starting five, and you got to get your best 3 guys that you trust, your best 2 guys that you can trust. And so Portis, I thought, very key with his 9 points and his 3 rebounds. Bobby Portis, the same Bobby Portis that we saw in the Chicago Bulls organization, he was with a couple other teams as well, it's not like he's lighting up the scoreboard, but there's key moments where he's able to get a rebound, to get a free throw, knock down a couple threes. He was very good on Saturday night. Pat Connaughton, I've been waiting for him to have a breakout game. 33 minutes, he had 14 points, but 4 of 6 from 3. Now, keep in mind that the Bucks shot 50% from 3, 14 for 28, which you love that because it wasn't a ton of threes. On the other end is the Suns. They shot 68%, 13 for 19. But the difference to me is the big 3 for the Bucks were able to come through with bench help, and then the flip side with the Suns, right? So the Suns had 5 players in double digits, all 5. And you say, well, how they lose the game? Well, Chris Paul had 21 points and 11 assists. Now, if you didn't see the ball game, you would know that Chris Paul, even though he has 21 and 11, he had a double-double, did not go to the foul line at home. Did not even go to the foul line. That's a problem. Bridges didn't go to the foul line. Crowder didn't go to the foul line. But Devin Booker was stellar with his 40 points in 42 minutes of play. He had 3 assists and 2 steals, but the key play where Booker is trying to make something happen in the fourth quarter, the ball's taken away from him by a guy that I've liked for a long time in Holiday, and the Suns end up losing the ball game. But also the bench help, like as much as I've admired Campaign here in the postseason and Craig and Johnson, it just wasn't enough. So yeah, they have 5 players in double digits, but Chris Paul did not have a good first 3 quarters. He was able to come alive in the fourth quarter when you needed some baskets. That's great. But again, you don't go to the foul line enough for me. You're at home and you shoot 11 free throws compared to the 17 shot by the Milwaukee Bucks. So you look at the glass too, right? The toughness there. You want to have some toughness there. Plus 2 on the glass for the Milwaukee Bucks. And so it is interesting to watch the Bucks throughout these playoffs. You know what I've learned? You've heard me be frustrated with the Bucks throughout the playoffs because, well, we're used to seeing this time of year, right? Well, not in July, but during the NBA Finals. We're used to a team being able to move forward and be able to play above the competition. Hey, it's not like we've never seen a 7-game finals before. But what I've been waiting for the Bucks to do on a regular basis in these playoffs is to be able to be playing with a ruthless aggression. And I think that what we saw Saturday night was the first time where I thought, yeah, that's right. Giannis and Middleton, Holiday all played well. Lopez pitched in. Connaughton was able to knock down 4 threes. I felt like the Bucks are a team that's a slow-starting team because they don't have a lot of shooters, but they seem to get stronger as the game goes on. They are survivors for sure and not overly dominant, but what it's so much of a change from my seat watching these finals and watching the Bucks, because we're used to like 2 or 3 guys taking over a game and being able to lead a team to the finals. And so when I see the Bucks, it's a slow start. It's, you know, they seem like they're just trying to figure out what they want to do. There's missteps here, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. And watching yesterday, it made me realize that this Bucks team is not a polished team, but as they move along, that you can see how much they are longer, they're athletic, they are stronger than the Suns. And what I kept telling you is the matchup really comes down to the Suns and how fast they are offensively with Booker, and watching what they do with Chris Paul when he's on the floor, and Ayton, and watching Bridges. It is really their speed against the will and the strength of the Bucks. And Giannis, along with Anthony Davis, and maybe you could throw in Joel Embiid, there's very few guys that you could look now in the NBA and say, boy, the big man is back. The big man can be able to dominate a game from the foul line down. And so even though this is a three-point happy league, it's refreshing to see the big man be able to dominate like Giannis can against a smaller Suns team. And again, it's really about the strength. The Bucks are wearing down the Suns. Now, here's the question. Do the Suns have another shot at this to prevent them from being eliminated here and the Bucks winning the championship? That's the big question. We'll see what happens coming up in our next game. But Milwaukee leads now 3-2. Let's hear from a tired Mike Boonhoser. The bags, the Samsonite, the luggage underneath the eyes tells a great story about the beleaguered head coach of the Bucks, Mike Boonhoser, talking to the press as the Bucks now lead in the series 3-2.
Hey, Coach. When you think about the opportunity that you guys have in front of you, what this means to the city of Milwaukee, what are you going to take advantage of the moment, you know, when you think about what this means to the city and to this team, what are you looking forward to about the moment?
I mean, we just got to go play game six. It's a great opportunity to go home. You know, we'll keep our routines. We'll prepare. We'll get ready. You just got to go play basketball. You got to find a way to win a game. And the fact that we're home and we have the support of our fans, the support of our city, it's important. It's going to be meaningful. But you got to go make plays. You got to make things happen defensively, make things happen offensively. And, you know, our guys, I think, are, you know, they'll be ready to do that.
Hey, Coach, how much do you think the experience you guys had in the past 2 years in these playoffs help you make it to this point in which you guys are one win away from the championship?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every team has a different journey. Players have different journeys. You know, so I certainly feel like, you know, what we've been through this playoffs, every team, you know, that it advances, you feel like you're better because of the competition you just went through. And what we've been through the last couple, 2-3 years, you know, it's prepared us, you know, to be in this moment and play and execute both ends of the court. You know, so I think it's just part of our journey, and we still got a ways to go.
Are you good? Thank you. I guess we'll just start with the day. You've talked so much about staying in the moment, staying focused and present. How difficult was that to start your day with your brother and to kind of learn his situation and that type of thing before a finals game?
It was extremely difficult because, you know, I know how bad he, you know, he wanted to be here and, you know, to help the team, be around the team and cheer for the team and, you know, give, you know, the energy that he always gives to everybody, you know, because everybody feels his energy, you know. But at the end of the day, we got to do our job. You know, we got to come out here and, you know, try to play good basketball, try to win the game. You know, and as much as it hurts, like, you know, everybody that he's not, you know, not here, and me even more, but, like, still got to do our job. Still, you know, we know that he's supporting us. He was, you know, sending me messages, you know, personally. So, you know, we were able to do our job, even though he was not here to, you know, give that energy he gives all the time from the bench.
Well, speaking of the bench, to open the second quarter, what was your vantage point? What did you see from your teammates as they started that run? And then even when Bud, you know, there was the timeout in there, Bud kind of decided to roll with it and mm-hmm. have you still kind of sit there.
Great momentum. We were able to keep our composure. We were making shots. We were getting downhill. We were defending. You know, we're down 16, you know, and, you know, that's what our team is about. You know, you can go the other way. You can be like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, this is not the night, but no, we kept playing hard, especially that group that came back to the game. They kept moving the ball. They kept getting open shots. They were knocking it down, too. So they played great. They played great in that stretch.
Eric on the right.
Did the hotel room survive? I feel like the Nets would be jumping on, like, the bed, like, throwing couches around, like...
I think... Just because I know him a little bit better, he was probably screaming in front of the TV, and probably, you know, in the last possession, he probably took his shirt off, you know, started playing defense, sweating, you know, jumping in the bed. But like, you know, after the game, when the game was over, he FaceTimed me. I could see, you know, that he was extremely happy. Like, he was watching every single moment of the game, and he was cheering us on. So,
McCauley! Booker, the drive, gets inside, leans in. Backed away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul. Antetokounmpo throws it down!
Giannis, putting it in perspective, as he talks about his brother's not available because of COVID-19 protocol, but interesting to hear Giannis break it down and talk about, you know, how his brother was back at the hotel getting excited, and just the idea that the Bucks are a game away from getting an NBA championship. That is just amazing. Some thoughts now on the other side from Devin Booker and Chris Paul as they met the press. What are they thinking right now?
I mean, one at a time. You know, our focus is the Milwaukee right now. You know, that's how you have to do these series, one game at a time. And, that's it.
Dave, here in the front.
Look, I wanted to ask you about the play. You guys are down one. You're coming down the court. You pick up your dribble around the foul line, and then Drew comes in. Just what were you seeing on the court in that moment? And when you kind of had a little bit of a transition opportunity, what were you seeing in as you surveyed the court?
I was just trying to score the ball. He was behind me. I turned, and he was right there.
On the right side. Go ahead.
Hey, Devin. You know, obviously you had a great night, but it seemed like a lot of times that there was a lot of isolation. There wasn't a ton of ball movement. I know you talk about 0.5, and there weren't many of those possessions. Did you think things got, and maybe this for Chris too, that things were just too isolated and stagnant on offense for too long during the night?
Yeah, the whole third quarter, you know, was pretty much that. We were trading basket for basket for, I think, 5 minutes straight. But, you know, we're at our best when we get stops and get out in transition. So we hang our hat on the defense end, and that's where we have to be better.
And, Chris, what did you think about just kind of the ball movement? And did you feel it got a little stagnant at times?
it definitely did, especially in that second quarter when I was out there. We talk about it all season long. We've been a ball movement team, and, you know, sometimes the switching can cause you to do that. You know, we exploit it at times, but sometimes we don't. We'll go back and look at the film and see what we could have did better.
Gina?
For both you guys, I mean, you haven't lost three games in a row in 6 months since January and haven't really faced a must-win as far as an elimination game situation all playoffs. So just, I know how much you guys pride yourself on resilience and fighting back. So just, what do you hope to see from you guys and your teammates the next 2 days to get ready for game six?
Just embrace it.
Yeah. You know, we knew this wasn't going to be easy. We didn't expect it to be. And, I mean, it's hard. You know, Coach said it all year long. You know, everything we want's on the other side of hard, and it don't get no harder than this. You know, so we got to regroup, learn from this game, but it's over. You know, we got to get ready for game six.
Anthony? Chris, from your perspective, what happened in that second quarter, and do you feel like that's where you guys lost the game?
It's a 48-minute game. You know, I go back and look at it and see, you know. But, you know, we got to play the way we started off the game. We got to put a full game together like that, especially going there. And we got to win a game in Milwaukee. So that's all that matters right now.
Palmer, to you on Zoom.
I'm going to go to Greg Moore with the Arizona Republic.
Thanks, fellas. This is obviously a really tough loss. Devin, how frustrated are you for Chris right now?
Next question, please.
How frustrated are you for Chris? Okay. Yeah, not a great question, and not surprising that Devin Booker did not answer it. So the focus for the Suns is to win another game, and I will tell you, because these playoffs, as I mentioned, are unpredictable, it wouldn't surprise me if the Suns found a way to win in Milwaukee and then go to Game 7. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. But the key, I believe, for the Suns is for them to be able to get it into Ayton, to be able to shoot the ball better, and Chris Paul's going to have better than just one quarter of production, plus quarter production. It's got to be multiple where he can either make others better or he's got to be able to help the offense in a much better way, because he disappeared the first three quarters, I thought, as far as him scoring the basketball. Here, as I mentioned before, the Bucks may get off to a slower start, but they are relentless when it comes to imposing their will on the competition. And again, it doesn't necessarily make the Bucks a great team, but they are doing what they do best to try to win basketball games. So hats off to them. So as I've mentioned in the past, and I'll say it here today, this series is very intriguing to me because it's not about the Phoenix and Milwaukee market. It's about basketball. And it's trying to figure out like who's going to be able to step up and really lead their team to the next level in order to get this Larry O'Brien trophy. Because, you know, for me, Chris Middleton is the MVP so far on the Bucks side. And for the Suns side, you know, Booker had a bad game in the finals, but he's been doing what he can offensively. But others have to step up. It won't be a ton of bench depth. It's got to be the stars. Which stars are going to be able to come through on Tuesday night and get it done in Game 6? Can't wait to see it. As I always tell you, that this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. They support us, so we want you to support them. DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. You follow them on Twitter and just download the app. You know, I would never endorse something I don't believe in. So, y'all, I want you to check out DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Find out if something out there is for you, whether it's the NBA playoffs, whether it's Major League Baseball. DraftKings is the spot. Okay, we will have another podcast after Game 6 as we take a look at this series. Will the Bucks win the championship or the Suns? Can they make it a Game 7? My original prediction is that the Suns would win this in 7. Now, that's only because I thought that the speed of the Suns, the way they get up and down the floor, would be able to prevail. But look at what the Bucks have done. The Bucks did what I did not expect, for them to go into Phoenix and win. Now, can Phoenix win two more to capture the championship? It's looking less likely. But with these playoffs, who knows? I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for downloading the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast on Spotify. That way you never miss an episode. It's also on the Cap and J Hood podcast feed on ESPN 1000 on the ESPN 1000 app. It's also on SoundCloud and wherever you get your podcasts. The Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. We'll talk in a couple days. Let's see what happens after Game 6.